Back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett Williams. And today on the show, it's Mateusz Kowalski. He's a Polish guitarist, and his debut album is outstanding in every way. It's got some pretty standard rep on it, but it also has some Assad transcriptions of popular romantic pieces. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it was my disposition, maybe it was just a cold day in New York and it just made sense to listen to something like this, but I knew he was coming on the show, and I started listening to it, and it was just a great album. And then I interviewed him, and then after I interviewed him, I listened to it again, and I enjoyed it just as much. And then I think I even listened to it a third time, which that is a first for me in several years. Listening to a solo guitar album more than once is something special. And this is no offense to all the other great albums that came out this year. It's just, it's all about timing. You know, it's why I'm not successful. But the thing is, you know, his phrasing, something about it really struck a chord with me. And our conversation was also very cool. It was one of the best interviews I've ever had. And this is despite the fact that there was a language barrier, which he was very nervous about. I think he sounds great, but it was there. And we were able to work through it and sort of bring to fruition a couple of, I think, kind of original ideas that in 128 episodes, I think that there's some new, you know, there's a new conversation here. And it's a very musical conversation that's punctuated by some humor, and it's everything I want out of the show. So it was really great having him on, and it was a rarity. He did invite me to his concert on Friday with the New York Classical Guitar Society. It was my birthday week last week, so I was really busy. This would have been a show that I would have totally gone to. I was also going on a second date that night, and he had invited me and the date. You'll hear that at the end. It's pretty fun. But I went through it over and over and over again. I was like, should I redirect her to go into Manhattan instead? We both live in Brooklyn. Should I just... And I was, you know what? I don't think that's the move. Because when it comes down to it, even though it's an enjoyable work function, it is, it would be a work function. And I would kind of maybe run into people, and then I would be nervous about seeing them. And I always feel like a dick because I don't go enough. And everybody else there goes to every single concert, you know, so I don't want any of those nerves to sort of rub off on her. And I'm just trying to be a good guy, good date. And I also had my brother took me to dinner the next night for my birthday. He wanted to take me, and I had a thing on Wednesday, so I was just a little bit like, I just wanted to keep things solid and just stick with the plan. Always a good idea. And I was so, you know, sort of torn about going to this show. And if I wasn't going on a date, I would have gone to it in a heartbeat. It would have been great to see everybody. But I just went. And I asked a student of mine, because I had no one else to ask. These are my little buddies, you know. And, you know, I haven't really talked about it for a while, but, you know, sometimes I'll go to them and I'll just ask them for some advice. So I asked I asked one of them for advice. I said, you know, what do you think I should do? I'm going on this date. There's a work function that I would enjoy going to. But I also don't want to put too much pressure on her. My student said, she said, well, if, you know, if I have a play date, it's just a big no-no for me to have a play date and then tell the play date that we're going to somebody else's house together. It's just something you don't do. That's a quote. And I go, all right, simple enough. Not a direct analogy, but definitely, you know, along the same. Yeah, you know, if you have plans with somebody, and I feel that way too. I've been on the other end of this where I'm on a date and somebody shows up and they've already been out with other friends. Maybe they're a little drunk, you know, something along those lines. Or they have somewhere to go afterwards and they stuff like that. That's fine on a first date, but on a second date, no, that's go time. That's where we've already decided that we know each other and like each other enough to give it a shot. So, yeah, she was right. And it was a great date. I missed the show. And I made a point to write him, which I never do. I wrote him and I apologized because I kind of, for a second there, thought I was going to do it. Do the right thing. Go to a show, right? It's important. We talk about the importance of going to a show, too, which is sort of, you know, enlightening, at least for me. Sorry, I'm just looking at something on my arm. It's fine. It looks more or less benign. So this show is sponsored by Encoda. That's NKODA.com. Encoda is now a regular sponsor of the show. So make sure you go over there and make sure you tell them that I sent you. They are a subscription service similar to Spotify or Netflix, but instead of watching Schitt's Creek and listening to Kanye West, you can actually download sheet music. I don't know, that last part was not good. It didn't. The Kanye West reference was just, it really makes me sound old, and I am. I'm 43 now. All right, so things better start picking up. They are. The things are going fine. But the Encoda is, they have, you know, a whole shitload of sheet music. And you can download it. You can create playlists. You can share it with your friends. You can mark up your own scores. You could download it to your phone, your tablet, or your computer. You're all set. It's great. It's great for ensembles with a sharing feature. I mean, what an outstanding service. Encoda.com. And also, as always, and the most important thing I can tell you to do is go to savageclassical.com. Savageclassical.com is where you go for the best collection of classical guitars on the East Coast. That's savageclassical.com for high-end, best of the best instruments right there in Long Island. Can you believe it's right there? I don't know if Luthier is still open. I mean, I know they closed, but did they not open up again? Are they appointment only? How's that working? Anyway, savageclassical.com. And, oh, we aren't audibletrial.com. That's no longer a sponsor. I just told my friend to go to audibletrial.com, and I don't think that they're, no, we already have it. They're not a sponsor anymore. It's rosettapodcast.com/insider. rosettapodcast.com/insider for a subscription that's about $8 a month. You can start learning the language of your choice. All right? So get over there. That's rosettapodcast.com/insider. We're going to get on with the show here. I hope that everybody is doing good and staying warm. And this is my time with Mateusz Kowalski.
As you said, it's just about consistency and working every day. Patient.
Mm-hmm. Don't get scared off. I think that's the other thing, is that it's mm-hmm. easy for us as adults and for them as kids to get scared off by something like not being good at something doesn't feel good. It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and I'm going to like play one more concert for them, for Internal Creations, on Saturday. Yeah.
Oh yeah, great! Oh, you've got a three bang bang bang
like every day. Yeah,
are you okay? Exactly.
Yes,
it's kind of good though, isn't it? Because it kind of keeps you going as opposed to that first concert after a big break. Right now you're on fire, nothing touches you.
Nothing. Yeah, it's quite a big tour because I actually started it in Austin, Texas, where I was 4 days ago. Then I went to Las Vegas and. Now here, so
Adam Holzman and Ricardo Cobo. Is that where actually, you were? Were you at UNLV?
No, because all the venues were booked these dates.
So,
but I went to Clark High School and Las Vegas Academy of Arts with Bill Swick.
Bill Swick?
Yes.
Okay, and then so the high school was part of the Austin Classical Guitar Society outreach program or something?
No. In Austin, it was... Close Up Series, something like that.
Close Up, yeah.
Yeah, Close Up.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and I played in
Is that the Cactus Club? Is that the Cactus Cafe? Does that ring a bell?
No.
I think they used to do something out there like that. I don't know, I'm interrupting.
Yeah, they're
go ahead.
Big, and they do so many interesting things. Yeah.
It's so big there. It's it really is like the...
Texas is big.
Texas itself, is big.
So,
how did you like it down there?
Actually, even more than Las Vegas, because like Austin is the place I think I could live there.
You could live there, yeah.
Yeah, I could live there, but Las Vegas, I'm not sure. Maybe not sure.
Yeah, I've never been to Las Vegas, believe it or not, ever. That's going to shock people.
Oh, so you must go there, definitely.
Yeah.
You have some fun in casinos.
It's the money thing. It's the amount of money that you pay. But actually, I know I would like it now. Because I've done a couple of things I don't want to do, and then I end up enjoying
it. Okay, but the hotels are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So that you have more money to spend like on gambling.
On gambling and hookers. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not you, but just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm married, so.
There you go. How long have you been married?
A year and a half, yes.
Yeah.
But we've been together for almost 10 years, so, yeah.
A year and a half. Wow, that's good. 10 years?
Yes.
This is like a high school sweetheart. You're a very young man, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we started dating when we were 15. 15.
15?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, this is, so now you're 25.
Yes.
And you're married to this person. This person, your childhood friend.
Yeah, exactly.
How does that, I mean, how is that? How is that going?
It's great. Because, it's
of course
it's great.
Is.
She's her name is Zosia. She's
Zosia.
Also Zosia, yes, like Sophie in English. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And she's also
and people should
musician.
Know you're Mateusz.
Yes, I'm Mateusz, not Matthäus.
Yeah, not Matthäus or whatever. It's Mateusz.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Mateusz, everybody. There you go. Now you know how to say it.
Kowalski.
That means hello.
No, that was my last name.
Hi, that means hi, how are you? What does your last name mean? Does it have meaning?
Yeah, no, it's like Smith in English, I would say.
Oh, it's just a basic, it's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it comes from blacksmith. Like Smith comes from blacksmith, Kowalski.
I never even thought about that, smithing.
Yeah, it's ding, like Schmidt. Ding, ding. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Schmidt is Smith?
Yes.
It's probably like Dutch Smith.
Or German.
Yeah. Schmidt.
It's the same thing.
Right.
Kowalski.
Oh, that's great. But but Kowalski doesn't mean that.
It does.
It does? It means smithing?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well, how about that? And how do we say that name? So it's
Kowalski.
Kowalski.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I can
pronounce it. One of the famous penguins from Madagascar. Like, there's one... Do you know?
I know the movie, but I don't. Oh, Madagascar, where they all escape?
Yes.
The zoo?
Yes, and like there were four penguins.
Yeah.
And one of them was Kowalski.
Kowalski?
Yes.
Then he was, did he have an accent?
Yes.
He had a Polish accent or like a New York accent? I'm Kowalski.
Something like in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I don't know if you, and I know you don't have any time today. But this is the Polish neighborhood of New York.
Yeah, that's great. So you must eat a lot of kielbasa and pierogies.
I eat some stews. I eat a lot of I do eat Polish food now. Yeah, this place is called Karksima. Karksima is my favorite place.
But do you listen to any Polish guitar music? That's the question.
Yours? Very important to me.
Ah, okay. But do you know any Polish composers, for example?
Because well, you got Chopin? There you go.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to record. Yeah, but listen, I will record a CD for National Institute of Frederick Chopin in Poland.
Which is where you went to school.
Yes.
Isn't that what it's called? It's called the Frederick Chopin Institute.
It's called Frederick Chopin University of Music, but just next by is the institute, and they want me to record a CD with mazurkas, Opus 6 and 7 by Frederick Chopin, which were transcribed for the first time by Jan Nepomucen Bobrowicz in 1830s, something like that.
1830s, transcribed for the guitar.
For the guitar. And
that's
it
crazy.
It was first ever transcription of Frederick Chopin mazurkas, and it was for classical guitar.
That's insane. Yeah. Well, he was the one that said that the Assads always use on the back. The only thing more beautiful than a guitar is two guitars. to us, it sounds stupid, but to some of the listeners, they'll be like, oh, how cool. Wow. Like the first time we look at the back of an Assad.
It works every time, yeah.
It does, it works. I have something that Frédéric Chopin used to say. You guys are probably really tired of listening to that. Every time a guitar duo comes through Poland. That's amazing, and you're going to be working on those.
Yeah, and also I will record pieces by Bobrowicz, Szczepanowski, mm-hmm. and Sokołowski, and Chorecki, which were like most famous guitar virtuosos of 19th century. Like, they were known all across Europe, and they also composed many beautiful pieces.
Let's say those names one more time for me.
It's Chorecki, Sokołowski,
Sarkowski,
yes, Szczepanowski,
Stefanowski,
close, Stepan. And Bobrowicz.
Yeah. Bobrowicz,
it's like the big four.
Those are the big four. Those are like the Russian five, but you got the four
exactly.
Right, the fifth is just who knows.
Yeah.
He's in the bathroom.
No, but they were amazing musicians, and yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's going to be a great project.
This is an incredibly exciting project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So obviously looking at that project, you must have gone back and looked at what made the sort of guitar scene so dynamic,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, it flourished in Poland. Mm-hmm. Was this all happening in Warsaw, or where was this?
It was
Where's the cultural capital of the 19th century?
It was all about scene? Giuliani, because all of them, they studied with Giuliani in Rome, probably, or somewhere else.
I think
with Mario Giuliani.
My thing about Giuliani is, I think he was a cellist who premiered Beethoven's Fifth, so I'm assuming he was in Vienna.
So yeah, they studied in Vienna. Yeah, but
probably
he was
Giuliani, for those
year
of you don't know, is one of our old guitar. Like, yeah. he's one of the Sore are the two biggest names of the 19th century guitar. Which
is interesting. And about Giuliani, he also played in a trio with Paganini and Rossini, which happened in Rome in 1820.
What did Rossini play? Did you sit there and burp? I'm sorry.
I think he played the piano.
I'm sure he played the piano.
Yes, yes.
And probably just like, you know, fell asleep. I just imagine him as being this just massive ball of...
Yeah, and maybe probably he was inventing his famous dishes, you know, or something. Yeah, but going back to this Polish virtuosos, they all studied with Giuliani, and their style is very similar to Giuliani's, but maybe less. It's because, you know, people say about Giuliani that if you learn how to play one Rossiniana, at least one Rossiniana, then you can play like every piece he's ever written, because
which is good,
all very similar. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, for guitarists, but I think the Polish four, they developed it a little bit more, like which was not so schematic
anymore. You're right, not so guitaristic, or idiomatic is the word we use.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the idea that it's written with special consideration for the instrument.
Right.
Whereas they were sort of thinking, they were transcending the instrument, trying to think beyond the capabilities of the instrument, and trying to make the instrument conform to what the ideas were in their head.
You're right. Maybe I would just let you speak.
No, I'm so sorry.
No, it's good because, yeah.
Well, you know, we talked about it before. Like, your English is great. You're not having a problem at all. I mean, I'm serious.
Okay, so,
I don't want you to be worried about that.
Okay,
but I know that you are a little bit. Everybody who comes in from another country is. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to do is extract. You know,
yeah, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It's very nice of you.
But also tell me if I'm being, you know, if I'm stepping on toes. So how did they do that? How did they take the music and sort of, they all studied with Giuliani, who did that, who wrote things so that sort of created a system for the right hand, mm-hmm. in which, you know, you play one piece, and the next piece you can use those same sort of right hand mm-hmm. finger patterns. And it works. I appreciate that about him and about yeah. other composers when they make it natural. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that if we're going to be artists as composers, that we should transcend the instrument. We should be kind of trying to push it mm-hmm. to the next level. And how did they do that? How did the Polish Four do that?
I think that the thing which helped them is the fact that they gave many concerts with different instrumentalists, like Klara Wieck, who was like the one from Robert Schumann, like
Clara Schumann's.
Yeah,
she eventually became Clara Schumann.
Yeah,
I didn't know her. I've heard that name before, Klara Wieck. Yeah,
and they like one of them, Szczepanowski, I think. Mm-hmm. He gave many concerts with her in today's Germany.
Yeah.
So I think they just had a lot of opportunities to listen other musicians play, not only guitarists, and just wanted to be like them a little
yeah.
bit, and just to get out of this idiomatic guitar thing.
There you go. Yeah. yeah. Fun new word, right?
Yeah.
yeah, that's really, so that's, I mean, that's really what it is. It has to be the fact that you're around other artists doing other things, and you break out of the box.
Exactly. And there's, and when we are talking about getting out of the box, I mm-hmm. think that's also very important for guitarists to not to close themselves in this guitar world only.
Right.
Which is, it's like such a small part of what music world is about. Mm-hmm. It's not very good to think that's how the reality looks like. It's such a bigger place, you know,
yeah.
the music world in general. So it's very important to get inspired by different artists and be open to different genres. Right, don't you think so?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a huge proponent of people going beyond being soloists. You know, I think that if you're, I love what you're doing. I think, you know, your work is amazing, and I don't mean to doubt. Obviously, this show has been on for a while. I have a lot of respect for soloists, but I think that getting beyond us just being soloists mm-hmm. is what's going to save us.
Yeah,
I mean, as a you know, as a group, mm-hmm. we need to have more options than just to be a soloist.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. Right. And also with the composition, yeah, you're talking about. I think it always is good to sort of get inspiration from other places and not mm-hmm. just constantly being paying homage to the people that were able to make it in the guitar scene, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, one of the pieces,
or 200 years ago,
which I think show. Which show very mm-hmm. which is a very good example of piece going beyond the idiomatic guitar thinking is Franz Schubert's Musical Moment Number 3, which you mm-hmm. can find on my CD debut yeah. CD album. So
oh, I don't think I got that far.
Yeah, it's the last piece. Right? You must have fallen asleep or something.
No, before. I was listening to it today, and I was like, "This is pretty good." Yeah, okay. Well, because sometimes I listen to things, and I'm like, "Okay, well, this is good." But I was like, "Oh, I kept on." Well, I did. I already talked to you about that Piazzolla.
Yeah.
The Inverno Potenziale.
That's a special piece.
It's a special. It's a big piece. Why? Why is it a special piece?
It's like I like the general idea of that piece, which is. One beautiful melody mm-hmm. being presented 6 or 7 times,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah, when it comes back that last time, it's crazy.
Yeah, but each time in different way.
Yeah,
and for me, it's like the melody is because it's winter. Yeah, winter
right.
is about something coming to an end, right?
Right,
about letting go. And for me, it's like the melody. The main melody is a melody of loss of
yeah.
something very sad.
It's very intense.
And yeah, yeah, and different ways it's being presented. It stands for different ways of how you can deal with the loss, which may be with anger or with resignation or something like that. So, yeah.
Right.
I think about...
Or recollection. There's It goes into major, and then there's sort of like a... Yeah,
yes.
A recuerdos situation.
Yeah, and in the end, it just... Everything falls asleep. And
It
calms down.
It does calm down. Yeah. It does. Is that the one that ends...
With artificial harmonics.
Oh, it does? Will you end it with artificial harmonics?
Yeah, the Sergio Assad's version.
Sergio Assad's version. Now, is that the one that ends with sort of the... Yeah, no, it sounds like canon in D. It sounds like it's a canon.
Yeah, you're right.
You didn't notice that? Yeah. And it's sort of like it's like everything's okay, don't worry about it. Let's party.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you. What? No. Thank you for your performance of it. I know that piece intimately. I performed it with a quartet.
Oh.
And I really liked it. At first I was like, what do I do with this? Did you feel that way about that piece? I kind of felt like I was like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. It was just kind of all over the place. My bassist really wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working on it with him, and I was like, this is just, it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's sort of manic in its ethos, you know?
Yeah, it was hard for me at the first moment to make it interesting. I mean, to feel the general shape of the piece, how to make it
interesting,
you know? Because it's the same melody, right? Yeah. All the time. So I needed some time to just put it in a good shape. Yeah, make it
make sense.
You're right. Yeah.
Because it's not a round. It's not is it rondo form? I don't even know what it is.
No.
It's just the A keeps coming back.
Yeah. In different shapes.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful piece. Beautiful. But that's all I really know about. Tell me about the last piece.
The last piece is Franz Schubert's musical moment number 3, which was firstly transcribed for a guitar by Francisco Tarrega.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this transcription to be not very... not the best which you could possibly get. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I changed it a little bit. And I think it's a perfect example of a piece which goes beyond what you could usually think about possibilities of a guitar.
Right.
Because in that piece, I have to sort of divide my left hand into two pieces, and like my third and fourth finger has to play they have to play melody legato.
And is that the Tarrega sort of approach to it? Is that his idea? Is that his addition, or is that yours?
It's mine.
Oh, so you're making things harder on yourself.
Yeah, but it's and first and second finger they have to play staccato.
Mm-hmm. So, oh god, oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like a legato, you know, big notes in the, we're talking to people, fingers 3 and 4,
mm-hmm.
or the pinky and the ring finger on the left hand. 3 and 4, we call that. And you're talking about us taking that and having that be lush and connected, and then the fingers 1 and 2 playing staccato.
Yeah.
That sounds really hard.
Yeah, but it's possible, and
it's possible.
Yeah, and it gives a very interesting effect afterwards.
Especially, that sounds like a very romantic articulation. In other words, it sounds like something from the 19th century. It sounds like you might play around with what you're doing in the left hand,
mm-hmm.
articulation wise, and what you're doing in the right hand is a completely different thing. It's very
exactly that's very what it's all about.
And very and that does sound a little bit like Schubert.
Yeah.
Right.
Finally.
Right. Right. Where there's this soaring melody and the piano has sort of got its own sort of attitude. It's its own character.
Yes.
That's interesting. Right. And was it originally written as a song, or was it... is it a solo piano piece?
Yeah. There's this, it's a cycle of 6 musical moments, and
mm-hmm.
third one is the shortest one, and the one which... like. it's the best one to transcribe it for a guitar piece. Yeah.
Because yeah.
Other five are much harder to play.
Yeah, we don't play Schubert that much. I mean, we play with singers.
Yes.
But the idea of it arranged for a solo guitar is that's a very unique idea. I'm mad I didn't listen to it.
But Schubert himself also, he played the guitar. He especially loved to use the guitar as an accompanying instrument for singing.
Yeah. And so, he did that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I knew. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I didn't know that he played guitar. Maybe at one point I did, but I don't know. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So he would compose on the guitar sometimes?
Sometimes. But that's why some of his pieces fit that instrument very well. And mm-hmm. the guitar. That's
right.
That's why, because he had sort of guitar-like thinking.
Right,
his head.
Like an Albanese sort of thing with us.
Yes.
Yeah, retroactively mm-hmm. transcribing this stuff back to the guitar.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Well, let's talk about the guitar. What other things do you know about as far... We started out talking about the four, and I hate coming back to things, but I am really interested, and I think people are going to be interested in what was going on in Poland. Was this mostly... These four people were mostly active in Vienna at the time when they were composing and working with people? They just sort of moved out of Poland? Did they ever go back to Poland and bring back anything?
Back then, Poland didn't exist because it was divided by Russians, like Germany and Austria, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Today it's Russia, Germany and Austria. And
then, right.
Yes, so it didn't exist and... that's why
was it part of the Holy Roman Empire? Is that what it was, or what was it?
It wasn't
even a thing. It was just part of all three of those countries.
Exactly, for 123 years. So yeah,
that's... Oh, you guys are 123 years old?
No, I mean for 123 years it didn't exist on the map.
Yeah. Right. Why? It was just conquered?
Yes.
Yeah.
And finally, after First World War, it came back to existing again.
Oh yeah, because I've always thought that it was always around. I mean, you guys held off the Mongolians. You guys kept the Mongol horde from, you know. So I always thought that you guys were always around. There's the first king of Poland. It's just sort of this medieval thing, right? I mean, it was around for a while.
Yeah.
And what made it disintegrate, for 123 years?
Mostly bad ruling,
which was selling off the country.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, sort of. It's, you know, it's like everything about politics, complicated and not... It's like there's not one
reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Many reasons.
And, well, so when Chopin was writing the Polonaises and stuff like that.
Exactly.
He was... What was that? So that would just be more of a regional... At that point, it was almost just like a regional sort of dialectical idea.
Yeah, Polishness. He grew up in Poland, and then he moved to France.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he just kept the Polish part...
In his heart.
Yeah, in his heart, and he just transformed it into beautiful pieces. And Szczepanowski, one of the big four, was a friend of Chopin, which is also very interesting, I think.
Right.
And again, what I wanted to say...
Because if they were working, if they were working with Giuliani, that would have been... Is that the early 19th century?
Yeah, it's and then around, it's 30s, I think.
Right, so early Romantic period, like not quite, or Chopin came later, right? Yeah.
No, he died in 1840.
Oh, okay.
As far as I remember.
Wow, okay, so he was right around then too.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Which is also interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Because the guitar world was always a little bit... retarded, is it? certain ideas.
Well, that word just means slow. Sometimes
slow. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. In Italian. Yeah. Yeah.
Certain ideas just appeared a little bit later, in the guitar world than it
yeah.
did in the piano or orchestra
world. Exactly. You know, it's that was sort of what we did. I felt like we were always sort of, we do always sort of take things from what's going on around us, especially at that point, because there was so much going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, music was changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, at that point in the early 19th century. But so let's talk about what, you know, your sort of upbringing and stuff like that. What happened in Poland to sort of make you play guitar? Did your dad, your mom play guitar?
My brother and my cousin, they played the guitar, but it was more like rock and roll or metal music.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be like them.
Right.
And so that's how my adventure started.
You have older brothers that
yes,
play
yes, guitar. Now he doesn't play very often, but it's thanks to him. It's he who made me interested in
that's guitar. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but when I went to the music school, I didn't know what I was signing into, you know, because I didn't know it's going to be all about the classical music.
Right.
So at one moment, at some point, I wanted to resign and stop learning in school.
Yeah.
But then my teacher let me choose the pieces of my repertoire. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I chose only pieces by Led Zeppelin or something like that, which made me practice many, many hours.
By Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Practicing the guitar solos.
Yeah.
Yeah, like How the West Was Won and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, you teach that. It's like a piece of music. Yeah.
Exactly. And I developed my technique. And then I discovered that I'm able to play like more advanced classical guitar pieces, which are definitely more interesting than the intermediate ones or the ones for beginners.
Yeah, that was always a tough thing to go through that first 2 years of sort of college or whatever when you're learning.
Yeah, so that's how it started. Yeah. And I also think that's what's very interesting about the guitar, that it comes in so many different shapes and everybody loves it, right?
Yeah.
It's like Segovia sets. So guitar is similar to dogs because it's the same. They come in many different shapes and everybody loves them.
I've never heard somebody, well, somebody did once tell me, my neighbors were mean to me when I was a little boy, I remember. Uh-huh. It's the only time somebody said this. But they said I couldn't be in their band. And I was like playing pretty good. I was rocking out. Uh-huh. And they're like, I was like, oh, you guys started a band? They're like, yeah, we did. We started it with Keith down the street as drums. You know, I play sax and I forget what the game. Eric Pearly plays. sorry for calling you out, Eric Pearly, you dick. But he played the piano. And I said, oh, yeah, is it cool if I... And they go, nah, like guitar's just not... I remember they said this. They like go, and they were like a year older. They were like, nah, guitar's just not really a rock instrument, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah, you guys are probably right. I went back to my mom. I'm like, am I not playing a rock instrument? I feel like I'm playing like a rock instrument. Nah. That was the only time anybody said, like, I don't like the guitar.
Wow.
Everybody likes the guitar. You have to.
Exactly. But, you know, still it happens after my concerts that people come to me after the concerts and say that, well, we didn't know that it's possible to play classical music on the guitar. And
yeah, they do. They still do,
All the time, which is...
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. What we can do about it, Brett?
I don't know. Well, maybe they'll listen to this and it'll change the world, but I doubt it. I don't know what we can do about it. I don't know, because that is an issue. And these aren't people that are like young and dumb. These are old people saying things like this. These are people that go to concerts.
Concerts, exactly.
And know music. And they're like...
And are well educated.
Yeah. Right. That's who's going like, I didn't know. I think that it's insular. I think that what we can do is we can just get better. We can do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. the big issue with guitar over the last century, or since the 50s when it really kind of came out again, is that the players just haven't been that good.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and we've been, it's an insulated group of us playing to each other and not really to anybody else. And I think that, you know, if now the players are getting good. You're great. You're 25. When I was 25, everybody sucked. You know, and that was what that was, you know, coming up on 20 years ago. So already people are getting better. And I think if that happens, the old guard in Lincoln Center, you know, and the chamber music societies and everything, if they know they can trust a guitarist to come in and join their ensemble and be good, then I think that things will change. And you know, that's what we're doing. That is what the guitar societies are doing that I don't give them enough credit for. Is they are celebrating greatness and people doing well. And that's, as much as I don't like the fact that you get a guitar degree and all there is to do is become a competitive solo guitarist, it does sort of, it is working us towards making a name for ourselves among the other great instruments in the high art world.
I have a feeling also that guitarists tend to forget about the fact that they should serve the audience in some sense, right?
Yeah.
And it's not about playing the pieces only, which are interesting for the guitarists, but to build your program in such a way that it's interesting for non-musicians too, right? So I think that's also very important.
And you're doing that in a way that's you know, different than what I think most people these days are doing it. Most people who are trying to take that approach are doing it by commissioning works from new composers, composing themselves, which is what I do. But I don't think a lot of people are doing what you're doing. I don't think they're actually trying to create a program of transcribed popular classical music. You know what I mean? Like Chopin and stuff like that. That's so that is interesting. I think that what you're doing is a good idea.
Yeah, I just want to...
Because people know and love that music.
Because it's beautiful.
It is it's beautiful.
And it's as simple as that. And I just want to make all these pieces as interesting as possible. Yeah, that's my aim. That's what I strive for.
And also, it's kind of interesting when people say stuff to us like... So you play classical music. What does that mean? I get that a lot. You know, and they go, "Is it like you know, flamenco? And you know, what is it?" And I tell them, "Oh no, it's like sometimes it's basically I go to Bach and I say, oh, it's like Bach." And they go, "So do you play Beethoven?" And I go, "No. Do you play Chopin? No. Do you play you know, let's no." But like you're saying, if we can say yes a little bit more to that, I think that it's going to expand our audience.
You know, I think it's all about that people don't know, most of the people don't know how to listen to the classical music. And if they knew how to do it, they would see that it's not about who has written the piece, but it's more about... in my opinion, what the performer is doing with that piece, and what kind of feelings they're trying to
share
exactly to share. So, in Austin, Austin Classical Guitar Society is run by Matt Hinsley.
Yeah.
And he told me that 2 weeks ago they did a concert with Clarice Assad, I think. And they did something like before one of the pieces, they asked a couple of people from the audience two questions. Like, do you miss somebody? Do you wish somebody was there with you, like who is not with us anymore, right? And there was a second question, but something which made them think and just feel something. Yeah.
So Clarice asked that, or Matt?
No,
Hensley?
No, no. Somebody from Austin Pacific Wow. Society. Yes, and that kind of approach made people listen so actively that they were crying and just feeling the music so strong, as it never happened before.
No, how great!
Which is, I think, amazing idea, and that's what I that's the point I'm trying to make.
How do they do that? So so what you're saying is, someone from the Guitar Society gets on stage,
yeah,
and Clarice Assad is playing on the piano,
yeah. And that was the biggest ensemble too. Like she played with
a string ensemble,
yeah,
or something. Or,
I don't know, but
right.
But it's not so important. The important thing is that
the audience was prepared.
Yes,
it's like a hype man
mm-hmm.
for a comedy
yeah.
television show, but instead he's making you sad mm-hmm. so that you're prepared to be in that space while you listen to this music.
Exactly,
because an audience isn't always prepared to be in that space.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like laughing and catching up, and mm-hmm. sort of there's a lightheartedness to it. It's which Friday night, they want to be entertained.
Yeah, which is also, again, it's not bad, because mm-hmm. sometimes audience need entertainment, and we as a performers should also give it to them, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes
there should be like
balance.
A push and a pull to the yeah. you know the happiness and the sadness, and
mm-hmm.
there should exactly. be contrast, and it should be balanced, and it should be timed and pulsed correctly.
Yeah.
In a performance, in my opinion.
Might too. It's the same.
But I think that the idea of prepping people to really emotionally
mm-hmm.
be present for a piece of music
mm-hmm.
that is reflecting that is important. And the performer, you brought this up in relation to to people understanding
mm-hmm.
Not just the piece of music, the mm-hmm. mechanics of it, but the performance of it. And the audience's responsibility for being present for that as well.
Yeah.
Being able to listen to music and put yourself in a space of vulnerability. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And I think it's really, it's interesting because I often listen to music when I'm walking around, I'm listening to cool music. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like I want to jam out. I want to feel cool. I want to feel kind of like, you know, like I listen to oldies and I'm kind of like, you know, creating a little soundtrack for me walking on the street. It's hard when I'm on the subway to put on an emotionally challenging piece of music. I don't feel comfortable being in public and being in that space. And so I sort of dumb myself down as a result.
You're right. But still, I think that in a concert situation,
mm-hmm.
when you really are there, when it's a little bit darker,
right.
yeah, and there's some kind of climax.
Right.
It's a little bit easier, I think.
Way easier, yeah.
Way easier, and that's why concerts still exist.
Are important.
Yeah, and are important, because there's some sort of feeling and experience that you just can't get while listening to the CD at home or watching a video on YouTube. It's just impossible to have the same experience at home as you can have it on yeah. a real concert, right?
No, that's an incredible point. Okay. And it's why you know, it's why movie theaters are important. It's why, you know, mm-hmm. watching a movie at TV
together, yeah.
On TV, I'm checking my fucking phone and mm-hmm. I'm, you know, all this stuff I'm doing, I'm just like constantly distracted. Whereas when I'm sitting in a theater, it's like I have to experience it.
Yeah.
You know, they released a bunch of stuff. They released movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Scorsese released a movie. All these other movies have been released on Netflix a couple of weeks after they're in the theaters. I always went and I saw them in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie called Marriage Story and The Irishman. I saw them in the theaters because I was like, I'm not going to go see Scorsese while I'm checking my phone and getting up, pausing it, eating yeah. stuff.
Right.
And same thing with the concerts. This is really important. True.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people really, I don't think everybody thinks that way, but you know, that's an important point, that you go to the concert so you can experience the music in its purest form.
Exactly.
And you have to commit to that.
Yeah. And if you're open to feel, yeah. And just to be vulnerable, as
vulnerable.
You said,
yeah,
you can really, it can sometimes even change your life, I would say. If the performer is
definitely
a top-notch one, then it's possible.
Or and it could not change your life and you feel like you wasted your Friday.
No, but that's actually my dream, to make people rethink their lives or just realize something after my concert. That's my biggest dream, to make them feel this way.
Well, I feel like you're going to do it. I feel like you're going to do it tonight.
Hopefully,
I feel like you did it last night. And I feel like you're going to do it tomorrow night. What do you have going on after you leave New York?
Louisville, Spokane, Portland, Hawaii, Los Angeles. So still plenty of places.
You get to go
places.
To Hawaii?
Hawaii, yes.
Whoa.
That's a long 4 days.
Where do you live now? What city in Poland do you live in?
Warsaw.
In Warsaw?
Yeah, Warsaw, which is like the capital of Poland. And I teach at the Frederick Chopin University of Music right now. I graduated last year.
Congratulations.
And after the Eurostrings competition, which I won last year, rector of the university called me and just asked if I would like to work for them, which is amazing.
That's like the best. Yeah, that's the best.
It's living the dream. The dream.
It really is. That's great.
But it's great, indeed. Yeah.
How is Warsaw? How is it a beautiful city?
Beautiful. You know, there's different kinds of beauty.
Yes, and there are. Yeah.
It's not like beautiful like Paris or any other beautiful city. Okay.
Roma.
Yeah, exactly. Like Rome or something. Yeah. But it's, you can see how you can feel the history right there.
Yeah, you can feel
because
it.
Because you can see all these ugly socialist time buildings.
Yeah.
Like so I know how it's called in English.
Soviet.
The Soviet style.
Siri thought we were talking to her. When you were saying Siri socialist, she's like, yep, what's going on?
What's going on?
Trying to talk to me?
No, so there's a kind of mixture of ugly buildings,
ugly Soviet buildings.
Old buildings and of very modern skyscrapers in New York. Maybe not so tall, but still. And because Warsaw was destroyed. Completely destroyed during the Second World War.
It was completely leveled, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So oh, that's so sad.
That's really
that
sad.
That war is just the worst thing.
Yeah,
ever.
Which happened.
Just which, and that always I there's a lot of things I don't get over about World War II.
Mm-hmm.
The Holocaust, all that stuff, everything, you know, the invasion of Poland, everything that happened. But the thing that just that stuff makes me mad, obviously. But just every time that the devastation of the buildings and the art and the as an artist, as a person that sort of comes from a pedigree of European, you know, art and Western art tradition, to know how much was just ripped down and know how beautiful the things that are still there are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
it's like what for?
A civilization was wiped out. And what for? Nothing.
Yes.
You know?
So it's very special to live there because you just can walk around and see all these memorial signs that something happened there. And it's so it's mostly sad history.
Mm-hmm.
But city itself is for me, it has a perfect size.
Mm.
It's not too big, not too small.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic is not too heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so just perfect. You should visit Warsaw.
I will. I have a lot of places to visit. Yeah. But that'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Head a little
can stay
further
at
east.
Our house, so.
Oh, wow. What is your house?
Sorry, actually it's a flat, but still
Is it a Soviet building though, or is it a? I'm just joking.
No.
Is it like a glass?
I wouldn't do that to you. So no.
Niet. So, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely,
a big pleasure.
Well, good luck. Everybody knows where you're playing. You're doing, you know, you're Portland, and you're doing whatever else, and you're going to Hawaii.
Yeah. And to everyone who's listening to us right now, people, go to the concerts.
Go to the concerts.
Get inspired.
Go to the concerts. That's if you got anything out of this, don't do what I do. Go to the concerts. Don't go on a. I'm going on a stupid date tonight. She's not stupid. I didn't mean that. You're cool. You seem nice. I don't know that much about you, but you seem like a nice girl. You know, I might try and go like, hey, you know, I know it's our second date, but you want to go see some guitar? You want to become emotionally available at a guitar show?
You know, if you
don't do that, go
if
to
you,
the show.
If you go to my concert, I will just dedicate one beautiful tremolo piece, especially
to me,
to you and your date.
Oh, just say Brett and his date.
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty serious stuff. That's a it big is. Sell. Oh my God. Oh, you are a monster.
Sorry. Now you have no choice, man. Just
oh, Mateusz, I have to check this out. You're killing me. I feel like it might be creepy if I do that. She's like, this is a little intense right now. And I go for the first concert I've been to in like a year. And everybody's going to be excited. Sometimes people get excited. They don't get like, sometimes they get like, oh, what's he doing here? But, you know, it's like a, you know, I don't want to say I make a splash, but people go like, oh, look, what are you doing here? It's a lot, but I will try. Yeah. Go to the concert, guys.
Exactly.
Mateusz, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. That's my time with Mateusz Kowalski. Please listen to his debut album. And if you're on the West Coast, go and see him. I think he's out there now. David Steinhardt, a quick shout out to that guy. He helped me produce what is essentially the pilot package, the first two episodes of the Music History Podcast. And he is going on. He's actually going on to grad school, and he's very busy with that, and he's got plenty of other work to do. So he's going to move on. And he did everything. He lent me his high-end equipment, and this is a guy, we've never even seen each other face-to-face. And we immediately hit it off and had just a wonderful connection. So I hope that we are able to keep that going despite our commitments to different things. And a lot of the work, the hard work is done. The website is done. The sort of structure for how things are working and how it's going to be presented is done. Now it's the fun stuff, which is kind of research. And if you're interested in doing that kind of thing, if you're interested in doing the research or producing the show from a, you know, from a technical standpoint, I pretty much have that under control. So really I need someone to help me with the research and if you can, the social media and stuff like that. But that would be, this would be something that eventually we hope will make money. And that's sort of where we're at with that. So I do want to make an episode 3, but again, as I said before, this is just something I'm having a hard time finding the time to do by myself. So if you are someone who would be interested in doing history, music history, learning about it with me, and taking that journey, I think David had a great time, and I did too, but you know, it's also, we had to, you know, make sure we got the rights to all the recordings and stuff like that. But now, you know, now I know how to do that stuff. And now I know who to contact. And now I know what the rules are. And, you know, that was something that we had to spend many, many hours and days figuring out all of that stuff and sort of how to cite correctly. So, you know, you're kind of coming on at a good time. And it's all the fun stuff now. I'll handle a lot of the, you know, outreach and marketing elements, and I'm paying for everything. So it's a lot of fun, and if you're interested in it, let me know, okay? That's Brett at brettwilliamsmusic.com. I'll see you soon. Happy February. Happy birthday to me.